Welcome to the Bright Beams Broadcast with Brother Ed Hicks, a broadcast for the proclamation of the unchanging truths of God's Word in a changing world.
Please consider for a little while the subject, Wine is a Mocker. The last verse of Proverbs 19 says, "Judgments are prepared for scorners, and stripes for the back of fools." The first verse of Proverbs 20 says, "Wine is a mocker, strong drink is raging, and whosoever is deceived thereby is not wise." One might scorn at a person that promotes absolute abstinence from alcoholic beverages, but in the future that person might be convicted and punished for a crime that he has committed under the influence of alcohol. Even professing believers might offer excuses for drinking alcoholic beverages. One might say, "There's nothing wrong with a social drink now and then." Another might say, "I drink responsibly and I am teaching my children to do so as well." One might say they drink wine in Europe regularly with their meals. Another might say, "Jesus turned water into wine." One might say, "It is not wrong to use wine medicinally." One might say, "I only use wine with cooking." Remember, wine is a mocker. One that uses one or more of these excuses might be like one that lets the camel put his nose inside of a tent, not expecting the camel's going to push its way all the way into the tent. 1 Corinthians chapter 10, verse 23, "All things are lawful for me, but all things are not expedient. All things are lawful for me, but all things edify not." Is wine expedient for you? The word expedient might be defined as hastens forward, promotes some purpose, advances. For the saved, our goal should be to obey God, to please God, to glorify God, and to be more Christ-like. Does drinking wine hasten the believer to those goals? Does drinking wine edify? To edify is to build up. Does drinking wine build one up in the Christian faith? Does it help him to be more holy? 1 Corinthians chapter 6, verse 12, "All things are lawful unto me, but all things are not expedient. All things are lawful for me, but I will not be brought under the power of any." Has anyone ever come under the power of wine? Why do you think that driving under the influence is condemned? Wine can have an influence or a power over a man. Remember, wine is a mocker. More people are probably mocked by wine or beer than by strong drink such as whiskey. In fact, wine or beer can be gateway drinks that sometimes might lead to people drinking stronger drinks. Strong drinks might be repulsive to some that regularly drink wine and beer. Wine is a mocker. Consider, first of all, the deceitfulness of it. Its mildness might deceive a man. Proverbs chapter 23, verses 31 through 35. "Look not thou upon the wine when it is red, when it giveth his color in the cup, when it moveth itself aright. At the last it biteth like a serpent, and stingeth like an adder. Thine eyes shall behold strange women, and thine heart shall utter perverse things. Yea, thou shalt be as he that lieth down in the midst of the sea, or as he that lieth upon the top of a mast. They have stricken me, shalt thou say, and I was not sick. They have beaten me, and I felt it not. When shall I awake? I will seek it yet again." What terrible words those are. "I will seek it yet again." Imagine one admiring the beauty of wine in a cup like one admiring the beauty of a highly poisonous snake, and then reaching out to pet the snake and to hold the snake. Many a person has been struck by the serpent of alcohol and has swollen with the symptoms of sin. What are some of the symptoms that the drinker might experience? Instability, physical instability, mental instability, emotional instability, moral instability. After a drinker has sobered up, he might say, I don't know why I did that or said that. I don't know how that happened. I don't know who did this to me. I don't know where I was at the time, but I'll do it again. James chapter 1, verse 8 says, a double-minded man is unstable in all his ways. If one is double-minded about social drinking, then he might fall in with the drinking crowd. Be single-mindedly against social drinking. Purpose in your heart not to social drink. Don't give in to pressure from others to drink. I've read about a General Harrison, a past candidate for the presidency of the United States, standing against the pressure to drink. It was stated that one said, General, will you not favor me by taking a glass of wine? According to the story, the general, in a very gentlemanly way, begged to be excused. He was again urged to join in a glass of wine. This was too much. He rose from his seat and said in a most dignified manner, Gentlemen, I have twice refused to partake of the wine cup. I hope that will be sufficient. Though you press the matter ever so much, not a drop shall pass my lips. I made a resolve when I started in life that I would avoid strong drink. That vow have I never broken. I am one of a class of 17 young men who graduated together. The other 16 members of my class now fill drunkards' graves, and all from the pernicious habit of wine drinking. I owe all my health, my happiness, and prosperity to that resolution. Would you urge me to break it now? Some might claim that the American government's attempts at prohibition have failed. Personal prohibition can, by the grace of God, be a great success. My advice to you is have personal prohibition. Then consider its presentation might be deceiving. Don't expect the companies that produce beer and wine to tell the dark sides of its effect. Have you ever seen a commercial for wine using bleary-eyed, slurring, stumbling drunks as their representatives? In our day in America, if one buys an alcoholic beverage that has been produced by an established company, he might see a clearly printed label that informs him of the alcoholic content. Years ago in America, a person might have been caught off guard at times because of an unawareness of just how much alcoholic content a drink had. Years ago, there was not the labeling of all the alcoholic drinks. There's a story from the autobiography of Mr. Peter Cartwright in which he and another preacher were traveling by horseback. The story goes along this line. There was a house with a sign that advertised new cider. Notice the word new. They stopped, and a large loaf of light bread and a pitcher of cider was set before them. It was a warm day. They were very thirsty and began to eat and drink liberally. Listen to these words by Mr. Peter Cartwright. It, however, seemed to me that our cider was not only new cider, but something more, and I began to rein up my appetite. Brother Walker laid on liberally, and at length I said to him, You had better stop, brother, for there is surely something more than cider here. I reckon not, said he. According to the story, they left the place, but evidently they felt it flying to their heads. Apparently there was enough alcohol in the cider to affect them. The Bible talks about new wine, the Bible talks about old wine, and the Bible just simply uses the word wine. The new wine was the juice of grapes. The old wine was fermented wine. And when the simple word wine is used, it might either be new or old. Don't waste time searching the Greek and the Hebrew for the meaning of the word wine in the Bible. Study the context. Context, context, context. You may learn a whole lot more studying the context of a verse than studying the Greek and the Hebrew about the verse. Once again, Wine is a mocker, and the misuse of the Scriptures might be misleading to some. If one wants to use the Bible to support his drinking, then he might go to John 2 and declare that Jesus turned water into wine. But was it grape juice that was fresh, or was it fermented wine? Was it new wine? Was it old wine? Jesus did turn water into wine, and the governor of the feast tasted it. The governor did not know where the wine had come from. The governor of the feast called the bridegroom. John chapter number 2, verse 10, the Bible says, "And he saith unto him, Every man at the beginning doth set forth good wine, and when men have well drunk, then that which is worse, but thou hast kept the good wine until now." Since the governor responded in the way that he did, I think that the guest had probably already consumed much wine. If the guest had been consuming intoxicating wine, would Jesus have provided intoxicating wine for a party? Since God said in his word in Proverbs chapter 23, verses 31 and 32, "Look not thou upon the wine when it is red, when it giveth his color in the cup, when it moveth itself aright, at the last it biteth like a serpent and stingeth like an adder." Would Jesus have provided it for people at a feast to drink if it was best for them not to even look upon it? Would Jesus have provided that dangerous drink to those guests? Would Jesus have been part of a drunken party? Do you realize that alcohol can be to the sin nature like gas to a fire? Would Jesus have fueled a drunken party? I certainly do not believe he would have. I do not believe that Jesus Christ provided an intoxicating wine for the wedding feast. Also, it seems that the governor thought that the wine that Jesus supplied was the better wine. In a time in which there was not the modern refrigeration that we have in our day, the freshly squeezed juice of the grape was not always available. When it was available, it might have been soon deteriorated. It seems that years ago, a grape juice concentrate might have been made in order to keep the grape juice from fermenting. Sulfur smoke might have been applied to slow fermentation. The natural tendency of the grape after it is picked is to begin to deteriorate. It might have a slight fermentation. It might sour and rot. Unless that descent of deterioration is interrupted, then the grape will deteriorate. I do not believe that the fermented juice of the grape provides the best picture of the pure blood of Jesus Christ for a Lord's Supper. If you are tempted to drink, remember this: wine is a mocker. I believe beer is a mocker. And remember this: be not conformed to this world, but be transformed by the renewing of your mind, that you may prove what is that good and acceptable and perfect will of God. Do you really think it is the perfect will of God for you to be a social drinker?
Why not now? Why not now? Why not come to Jesus now? Why not now? Why not now? Why not come to Jesus now?
If you have any questions concerning this broadcast, give us a call at Lighthouse Baptist Church. The number is 850-610-3041, or visit the website at lbcfl.org. By the grace of God, get ready, be ready, stay ready, for Jesus is coming again.